Let us join together in a moment of prayer. God, may it be your words that are spoken and your words that are heard this day. Your name we pray. Amen. So, as I shared with the keiki, we had a good time in New Zealand. We were there for 3 weeks, and it was truly a wonderful vacation. It was the first time that our ohana had been able to be together on vacation in 8 years. And it was a real joy for us, and we had a lot of things that left long-lasting impressions and memories upon us as we traveled around South Island and North Island of New Zealand. One of those impressions that we had was that five adults in a camper van the size of a Volkswagen bus is challenging. No matter how well we got along, for 2 weeks, almost 2,000 miles. And yet, in the midst of those challenges, we were blown away by the magnificence of New Zealand. Rainforests that stretched from mountain to sea, rainforests that were still filled pretty much 90% or more with native plants, something that we rarely see now here in Hawaii. This rainforest ending on shorelines that seemed to go on forever and ever. Rugged, challenging. Water that was cold. I mean, like, really cold. Only not quite as cold as the water that was in the streams and the rivers that led to the ocean, in which it had probably only a minute or so before been snow. And we experienced the fullness of that cold and longed for summer. It was summer in New Zealand, but they don't really understand the concept of summer as most people do. But it was beautiful and it was wonderful. And we were stunned by the amount of open space that exists in New Zealand, which makes sense. It is a landmass almost 200 times the size of Oahu, with a population only 4 times the size of Oahu. So there's a lot of space for forests and mountains and sheep and cattle and all sorts of other living and wonderful things. It is a land that we found was rich in its splendor, rich as well as we talked with folks in its wage scale and social framework. We saw some poverty, but not much. We saw very little of a sense of helplessness. And in Auckland, a city a little bit larger than Honolulu, in places where we might have expected, as we do here, to find people that were houseless, we saw virtually none. New Zealand is an interesting place. Our friend Andrew, who we planned this trip with and spent much of our time with, sailed with him and shared with him, wrote this before we got there. It says, New Zealand is a country largely at peace with itself, with no enemies, and genuinely fond relationships with its neighbors, with a good balance of economic opportunities and social security systems and an open-mindedness about most matters. Our police don't carry guns. Our business people mostly pay their taxes. Our officials are among the least corrupt in the world. Our politicians are generally decent people with good intentions. That alone attracted me to get to New Zealand. To hear a statement like that, and to, in fact, when we were there, find it to be very true. And so it was a place to wonder and to be impressed powerfully about. But it was some questions that were posed by a new friend by the name of Tim, who we sailed with for 4 days. On one of our last days, these questions are what left me pondering and wondering the most. It was our last day together. It was Sunday a week ago in New Zealand, which was Saturday a week ago here in Hawaii. We were anchored, having sailed these two catamarans together, on an island called Urupukupuka in the Bay of Islands north of Auckland. We'd had wonderful days together. I had intentionally turned off my phone to assure that I could be on vacation, and Kirsten had that night done the same. So it was a strange morning when we woke up at Our friend Simone got up at 9 o'clock and turned on her phone, 9 a.m. in New Zealand being 8 a.m. in Hawaii last Saturday, to read that in fact there was a false missile attack that had been launched at Hawaii. You can imagine our phones went on really quick at that moment, and we saw to our horror that our children had been, who had left us a few days before, had been trying to call us repeatedly and had not been able to reach us. And we were met with these twin feelings of horror at the reality that we might well have been away from our ohana when such a tragedy might happen, and this feeling of elation that, in fact, it was a false alarm. The angst of being on vacation, on a sailboat, 3,000 miles away from our family, 6,000 miles away from North Korea, where such an attack is unbelievably now no longer inconceivable, and 9,000 miles away from Washington, D.C., where poorly thought and belligerent words and policies had made this very possible, left us in a very strange place. Our friends were good. They gave us space and time to process these multiple emotions. And together we sailed for one last day through those Bay of Islands to various places. And we anchored and moored together one last night outside the anchorage of Rafiti. And we were sitting on the back of our friend Tim's boat. And Tim, probably fueled by just enough wine, looked at us and said, "I have been told before you all came that I needed to stay away from religion," looking at me, "and politics," looking at my wife. "But I just can't resist," and the wine was just making the words come out. And so he looked at me and he said, "I have to ask you this. How can you profess to a faith that is so clearly either ridiculous or at the heart of all that is wrong with your country?" And Tim was lumping, as many do, a Christian faith that has become so tied with the conservative politics that won the last presidential election. And then he looked at Kirsten and said, "How can you and your husband continue to live in a country that is so clearly, woefully out of step of its own citizens and of the world?" Now, I must tell you, these were questions asked good-naturedly, with a smile, and with a lot of wine. And so we were able to listen to those questions and laugh together and play with the questions and respond and have a good time with that. But soon, an unbelievable sky beckoned us and warm and soft beds called to us, and the conversation went away. But it has stayed with me. It has stayed with me, those questions. And it has stayed with me as I read through the scriptures, particularly the one from the Gospel of John that Catherine was just reading, because the questions that were being posed by our friend Tim are not all that dissimilar to the questions that were being asked of Jesus and his followers at the beginning of his ministry, as recorded in the Gospel of John. Just before the passage that Catherine read to us, we have had this beautiful prologue of the Gospel of John that tells us about God being light and God the Word coming to us and all of that. And then there it moves to John the Baptist, and it moves to this interaction that John the Baptist is having with the religious authorities of his day. And the religious authorities of his day send out representatives of the religion, the priests and Levites, to John to question what it is that he is saying and doing. Biblical scholars will tell us that as one looks back in the world of Judaism 2,000 years ago, this temple religion that the religious authorities sent out to investigate John is not the only understanding that Jews had of the world. That there were different understandings, different ways to interpret the scriptures, the verses, and everything else. This just happened to represent what had become seen as the dominant and majority voice. Similarly, I realized that to much of the world, like our friend Tim, the televangelists and the mostly white conservative evangelical movement represent Christianity to them. But I can tell you from looking at the folks that are sitting within these pews this day that such theology does not represent all of Christianity. Nor did the temple Judaism represent all of Jewish thought. And John, quite eloquently, and with a certain amount of humility that was a stark contrast to the hubris in which he was in many ways attacked, lived and preached a different understanding of the faith. And then in this portion that was read to us by Catherine today, we have Philip, who simply hears Jesus say, "Follow me," and Philip says, "Okay." And off he goes and follows Jesus. And the next thing that we hear from Philip is he goes to his friend Nathanael, and he says, "We have found the one that Moses and the law and the prophets talked about, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael, somewhat derisively, says, "What good can come from Nazareth? What good could possibly come from Nazareth?" And Nathanael is reflecting the fact that Nazareth was a backwater. Maybe 500 people at best lived in Nazareth. It was insignificant. It was in the shadow of this magnificent city, Sepphoris, that was being built. It was not Rome. It was not Jerusalem. If the King of all kings was going to come into this world, if the Messiah was making an entrance, it certainly would not be from Nazareth. Now, Tim asking us about how we could continue to live in the States, and he, by the way, had been married to an American woman for a very brief time, lived in Arizona, which he referred to as his sentence. Just saying. Whole nother world. Tim didn't look on Washington, D.C. as a backwater, but as much of the world does, views it as a behemoth, willing to impose its will either through economics or force. And I am struck by the way that Philip responded to Nathanael. Three words: come and see. Come and see. And I've thought about those three words, come and see, and I've thought about our friend Tim and wished that I had said, come and see. Come and see right now. Because Tim, like many, could look at our country right now and could look at things like the fact that we are only one of two nations in the world that refused to sign the Paris Climate Accord. We're the only nation that seems to be stacking its federal bureaucracies with folks that don't want to pay attention to science. And he could look and say, see? Why would you want to be there? But what he would not see, unless he looks deeper, is into that vacuum that has been created. There are states, Hawaii leading the way, that are making policy, working to make policy, that we will, in fact, adhere to those Paris Climate Accords. There are cities, Honolulu leading the way, that are looking to the ways in which we will adhere to those accords and which we will lead the country in going off of fossil fuels. And into that vacuum created by policies that many would disagree with, there are businesses that are stepping forward, and because it makes good business sense, are embracing concepts of sustainability. Tim and others might look at our own country and our seemingly fixation on border walls and the trashing of our neighbors and of our fellow travelers on this planet. But would he have seen as well cities like Honolulu and states like Hawaii, California, and others that are exploring what it means to be sanctuary, that are grounding that exploration in indigenous values, as we have here with the Ho'okipa resolution, hospitality, not sanctuary, being what defines it? Would he see that the 800,000 dreamers that about 13 months ago many of us never even knew existed have now become at the forefront of all legislative discussion? Tim and others might be aghast at the violence that too often stalks our streets, that too often infects our police forces. excuse me, and defines our relationships. But would Tim have the willingness to listen and hear voices that have been told for centuries that their voices don't matter, now being the voices that are heard and shape our consciousness? Would he hear that in the Me Too movement, there is not just an acknowledgement that assault happened to me, but there is also a statement of, never again will I let this happen? Will he hear in the words of one of the women U.S. gymnasts who was just at the trial of the U.S. gymnast doctor who was convicted of assault, talk about what she is doing as a young parent, in which she is raising her son to be protectors and her children and her daughters to be warriors? Will we hear those voices coming forth in the midst of violence that we see? Excuse me, just a minute. Come and see. That's what I wish I'd been able to say to Tim. I wish I had a clear enough mind to say, come and see at that time. I wish I'd been able to say, come and see right here in these seats, in these walls, the folks that populate and make up this faith community, that all the issues that I just lifted up, the people in these seats are intimately and integrally involved in. Come and see a congregation that is unabashedly open and affirming, a congregation that is intentionally placing itself on the moral arc of the universe that bends itself towards justice and peace. Come and see a congregation that marches in one march after another, whether it be on foot, bicycle, skateboard, scooter, or Segway. Come and see a faith community that knows that the answers to last week's nuclear scare are not just in pointing a finger at what went wrong, but at working to dismantle the very systems that make the reality of such weapons no longer necessary. Come and see a group of folks responding with faith to their community, discussing amongst themselves in what ways do we put our energies, put our time, put our monies, whether it's the continued support of Family Promise, the re-engagement with faith, looking at the way in which we deal with the houseless situation within Honolulu so that we are not enablers, but we are empowerers within this community. Looking to the ways in which we support churches that have declared themselves a sanctuary and ways in which we find ourselves to be part of that ho'okipa, that hospitality for those that seem to be forgotten. Looking at the university that is above us and the dormitory that is being built and wondering how it is that we can become part of those lives that are there. Come and see a congregation that allows itself to have its own biblical faith informed by the wisdom of the indigenous host culture of the Native Hawaiian people. Come and see people that are willing to engage, not just in an outward journey of action, but that inner journey of strengthening of their spirit and of their heart so that they might have the foundation to be able to withstand where things are difficult, that they might be able to, as I said with the young people, to take those leaps into the world where the need is greatest because they have that foundation before. Come and see a congregation that gathers on Sunday morning at 8 o'clock for those who need to meditate, gathers at 9 o'clock for those that are willing to engage their minds in the adult ed classes, that honors the wisdom of our youth and our kupuna in worship, and tries to fully engage and lift up and support in all that we do in worship. Come and see, Philip says to Nathaniel. And Philip and Nathaniel undoubtedly learned that the community that Philip was inviting Nathaniel to was not perfect. We know that. The community of disciples was often closed-minded, remarkably dense, surprisingly egotistical, confused by money and ministry and so much more, and we can hold a mirror and see the very same things within our community, yet the community that Philip invited Nathaniel to come and see were people that were intent and intentional about following that carpenter from Nazareth, about embracing his teaching
being one with his Spirit, so that their individual hearts might be transformed, that their own faith community might be enlivened, and the community in which they were lived in, they were fully engaged in. So our friend Tim asks us these simple questions. And I want to say, come and see. And I realized that behind Tim's question, there was also an offer. He says, you know, if you find it too bad in that place where he was, quote, sentenced, you can always come to New Zealand because we got it pretty good here. And strangely, Kirsten and I felt, and we talked about this, that though the offer was nice, the need to retreat is not there. The need to flee is not there. Rather, there is this overwhelming desire to roll up our sleeves, to be engaged with this broader community that we are part of, to bring change into this world, to be engaged with this community that we are a part of, to become part of the place that others will want to come and see. I long for the day when my friend Tim comes and sees what we are doing together, as this community of faith struggling to follow after that simple carpenter from Nazareth to become a beloved community. Amen.